We come now to chapter 5 in the book of Revelation. We'll read the whole chapter. Please listen to God's holy word. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the 4 living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." Let's pray. Lord, may this glorious picture do good in our soul, spiritual good. For it is frightening to think such glorious truth could be ignored or considered boring, God forbid. And we pray that around the world as the gospel is preached, especially this day, that you would bless the word as it goes forth. And may it find good soil in the hearts of many. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Christian life, for the most part, is rather routine and uneventful, if we are honest. Now, there are always a few moments here and there of excitement. But for the most part, like everyone else in the world, you wake up every day, you go to work, or you work at home, you do what you do, you deal with daily problems, whether physical or family or financial. You go to church on Sundays, and you wake up on Monday, and you start all over again. That is basically the Christian life. It is common, it is ordinary, and it is routine. It is easy to lose perspective when we live this type of life. We forget that there is another perspective on what's going on, and it's heaven's perspective. And that's what the book of Revelation gives us. As we live our lives and go through our daily routine and our difficulties and our worries, and we go to church and we just live our lives, we forget that God looks at things a little bit different and sees things that we may not realize. And so now we have a book which opens up earth from God's view, what he sees, and it really helps us to live that daily life. And so here we are in chapter 5. Jesus has risen from the dead. He has already appeared to the apostles. He has returned to heaven, where he will live until he returns. And so John is given a vision of Christ returning to heaven and how he sees the world and what happens in heaven from that perspective. Now remember, we are dealing with a vision. That means we're dealing with symbolism. This isn't how things actually look. It's a picture for us. For example, in verse 1, we see that God has a hand. Well, God is a spirit. He doesn't really have a hand. This is a vision. It is symbolic. And so as we approach this vision, we'll look at just a few details of the vision, but most importantly, this scroll. This is the key to chapter 5. There is a scroll with 7 seals. And in those days, of course, a king would, when he would make a decree, he would seal it, and the decree would be official when it was unsealed. But if you were going to unseal it, you had to have the authority to unseal it and carry it out. And so the 7 seals kept it closed until somebody with the proper authority could open it and carry out whatever that decree or seal said. The fact that there were 7 even shows us that this is very tightly sealed. And the point was that if you didn't have the proper authority before the king, you couldn't open the seal and do it. You couldn't just carry out an edict of the king if you weren't the king's man to do it. And so after John sees this seal, he then sees a powerful angel, and the angel is calling out this question: who is worthy to open this seal, to open the scroll, to untie the seals? And that's another way of saying, who can carry out this decree that's in the seals? Who is worthy? Who has the authority? And then we see that there's silence. And nobody speaks. Everybody looks around. You have all these glorious angels, and none of them step forward. You have these 24 elders, and we'll see later that represents Christians. But none of them are worthy to open the seal. So nobody does it. No creature, no angel, no human. Nobody will step forward and say, I can do this. And notice what happens. John begins to weep. So this is serious. And it's not sort of a whimper. John is weeping loudly over this. Well, when we look through Revelation, we see why John is weeping. Because as these seals unfold, it is God's plan of salvation for people. It is how God will begin saving people around the world and preserving them through trial, and then bringing them to heaven, to the new heavens and earth. That's what these seals reveal. So who will do this? Who will carry out God's plan to save sinners and bring them to himself? Well, so far, nobody. And so that's why John is weeping. There is no one worthy to carry out God's plan of salvation. The point is that if John is weeping for you, if you're not a Christian, because you are not worthy to save yourself. And that's what John is weeping about. If somebody doesn't save sinners and carry out God's desire, then nobody's saved. And John begins to weep over this possibility in the vision. And so if Christ doesn't step forward, there's no salvation, and you're eternally lost. So if you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, John is weeping for you right here in this passage. You are not worthy. You need a Savior to save you from your sins. So while John was weeping, one of the 24 elders speaks to him and says, John, stop crying. Stop weeping. There is somebody worthy to carry out God's plan. There is a way for God to save sinners. And what is the solution? Notice the passage. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals. There is one worthy. The Old Testament prophesied of him. Remember where it said a son of David would be born, and he would be a mighty king to save his people. And of course, he would have to first die for his people. So Christ has now come. He has died and risen again. And there is one now who can carry out God's plan to save people all around the world. He fulfilled the Old Testament, and he prevailed over sin on the cross. So that is why John looks up to see who is it. And notice the description. He hears that it's a mighty king, a lion. But what does he see? A lamb. The mighty king is also a gentle lamb. What a glorious picture. The gentlest and meekest of all of God's creatures. That is our mighty king. He is the warrior who needed to very humbly give himself gently for his people. Notice there were wounds on this lamb, blood marks, revealing that he had been slaughtered. So the only way Christ can save us, if he's first slaughtered for us, if he takes on the punishment due to our sins. But even though he's a lamb, notice the description. He's still the mighty warrior king. He is the Lord of lords. He has seven horns on his head. Horns in the Bible picture power. Kings had a horn, or it's a picture of authority or power. And the seven would mean full or complete power. Notice the lamb has seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. What is the lamb going to do now? He is going to send his spirit all around the world to give new life to dead sinners, to open their eyes to the gospel. He will plunder them, his spirit, from the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of his Son. Remember in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." He was actually looking ahead to this moment that is pictured here. Here, Christ is given the authority from the Father to now carry out the plan of salvation. He has the authority to now save sinners around the world and bring them into his kingdom because he died for them. And that is what he is now, the head of his new humanity, the head of his church. So as soon as the Lamb takes the scroll, there's a great sound of praise throughout heaven of what Christ is now about to do. The living creatures, which are here angels, the 24 elders, which picture God's people he has or will redeem, they all fall down before the Lamb and worship him and thank him for what he is about to do. Each of these elders has a harp, and they're also holding a golden bowl of incense. Again, the 24, we talked about this last Sunday, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles, believers in the Old and New Testament, the Old and New Covenant, all believers. The harp, we find out later in Revelation, is a picture of our songs. So the songs that we sing, either in church or maybe songs you sing to God on your own during the week, they're just songs to us, and we lose perspective. Well, they're just hymns. Every church sings hymns. But how does heaven view those songs? They are harps, beautiful harps playing to God in heaven. That's how he hears our singing when we're singing out of thankfulness for his salvation. Isn't that a nice perspective? To have God's perspective on this? And the same with this golden bowl of incense. When we pray, our perspective is, well, sometimes we feel close to God and sometimes we pray sort of coldly. Sometimes we're not even sure if God's listening, if they pass the ceiling. That's our perspective. What's heaven's perspective on our prayers? Well, it's the smoke of the incense rising to God, pleasing him. Every single prayer that we pray is a fragrance that he loves. That's how God views our prayers in Christ. In the Old Testament tabernacle, there was the golden bowl of incense, and the smoke rising in the holy place always was a picture that God was always listening to Israel's prayers. That was the symbol. And that is a reminder to us that God is always listening to our prayers and loving them, even though for us sometimes we don't feel that way. So it is an encouragement to pray when we have heaven's picture and not just our own view. Verse 9 says that they all began to sing a new song to God. You see that term throughout the Psalms, sing a new song to God. That term means that when God does something great in the history of redemption and salvation, We are to thank God, compose songs about what He has done. So, for example, when God created the world, the Psalms say that the angels sang for joy about that creation. When God led Israel through the Red Sea, what did Moses do? He composed a song called the Song of Moses. That's in Deuteronomy. Thanking God for what He had did in the Red Sea. And so now that Christ has come, what is the church to do? Compose songs about what Christ has done. Thanking Him, that is our hymns. A new song for what God has done through Jesus. Now notice the first song in verses 9 and 10. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed to God by your blood men out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Again, a different perspective. When you look at the world, you think, well, the world's in bad shape. And the church has very little impact on this world. But what is heaven's perspective? God is bringing about salvation all around the world. Every tribe and tongue and people. That is heaven's view. They are not pessimists up there. When they look down, they do not wring their hands how bad it is. They're glorying that even though this is a fallen world, God keeps saving people. Right now, as we talk, people are being redeemed all over the world. Right now. Every day. And so you can look at the world with our eyes, or you can look at the world from heaven's perspective and then join in praising God for what He is doing. The hymn continues, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. As you offer thanks to God for your salvation, you are priests. You are in God's heavenly temple, offering thanksgiving as incense, as that pictured. In verse 12, the thousands of beings join in. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. How many nouns there? Seven, right? I think that theme will return in Revelation. To receive everything that He is due. Seven glorious words. Now, this portion of the vision ends with one more doxology of praise down in verse 13. But you have to imagine what this vision would have meant to those first believers. They would look out their window daily and see Roman legions marching by their front door. They knew what was coming, and it wasn't pretty. They had already heard some news about Christians who were being killed in other places. And so this vision would give them perspective that God was in control of history, that He was bringing them to Himself, that the Romans could not stop Christ's plan for the world. And nobody could stop Christ's plan for the world. So they could hold fast under trial. And so it's very important when we go through our routine, difficult, sometimes boring Christian life, where we wonder where God is or why He does things or if He hears, to get heaven's perspective. That's where the book of Revelation, as well as the other scriptures, help us. Though our life, we don't understand why a lot of things are the way they are. From God's perspective, there's a scroll of history, and Christ is carrying out the plan. From our perspective, we just sing hymns. And sometimes our mind wanders from the words. That never happens with you, just me, right? And so we're just singing hymns. Why would God care? Well, from heaven's perspective, they are harps playing in the presence of God, bringing Him pleasure. We pray, and we don't quite know if God's listening, and surely there are more important people praying, more important things. That's our feeling sometimes, or I shouldn't even pray because I'm not a very good Christian and I've had a bad week. That's how we feel about our prayers, but what does God feel about our prayers? They are golden bowls of incense rising up to His nostrils, and He loves every prayer in our weakness that we pray. We look at the world and we say, what a mess. We look at Revelation and we say, what a glorious thing God is doing in this messed up world, God keeps saving sinners every day. From every class, every tribe, every race, no respecter of persons. That's what God is doing around the world. But finally, there are only two types of people in Revelation 5. Either you are one of the singers thanking God for salvation, or you are one God, John is weeping for, that you have no one yet to take the scroll and save you. And so let John's tears be a warning to you that you need a Savior. And Christ offers himself to you this morning to be your Savior. He is the only one worthy that can save you from your sins. But for you who have already trusted him for salvation, we are to join with the redeemed and sing this song of thanksgiving that our salvation was won by the only one worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close in prayer.